Remember the passion you felt doing that particular thing you always loved to do when you were a kid? Whether it was to laugh or to love or to explore, to play or create. Those passions weren't just you being a kid. They were gifts of clarity. They're the desires of your heart authentically expressed. Hi, I'm Courtney Cole, and this is the Love Freak Podcast, where we remember who we really are and what we've come to this planet to create. It's here we make a choice, love or fear. It's here we choose to vibrationally realign ourselves with the truth of our essence, love, 528 hertz, the love frequency, which therefore allows us to realign with conscious healing, authenticity, and creativity. Don't freak out. This is your true nature.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Love Freak Podcast. I did a podcast a while back where I briefly talked about the ancient practice of Ayurveda, but I am definitely no pro on the topic. It's just a lifestyle that I love and that I'm learning to be more consistent in, because I really, really think that living Ayurvedically is all about living in balance with nature, because we are nature. And as creative people, when we keep ourselves in balance and in tune with the world around us, we open ourselves up to so much more authentic inspiration that is grounded in love and in truth and wisdom and in clarity to create a really beautiful experience for ourselves that's not forced or contrived, and that kind of eliminates a lot of the internal blockages within ourselves. So I've had a lot of you reach out to me and ask me questions about Ayurveda and what it's all about. So I thought that I would bring a true pro on to talk about the ins and outs of it. So I am here with Julie Bernier of True Ayurveda. She is a registered Ayurvedic practitioner and Ayurvedic yoga therapist with the National Ayurvedic Medical Association, as well as a certified massage therapist. And she has studied each of these modalities here in the US and straight from the source in India. So that's pretty cool. And she really helps her clients restore their balance by realigning them with their true nature by connecting them and balancing them with nature. So Julie, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Courtney. I'm so happy to be here. And thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And before you kind of tell us about your journey and how you were brought to Ayurveda, can you kind of tell us a little bit what Ayurveda is exactly for those of us who might not know?
Sure. So it's a holistic system of healing from ancient India. And to be very honest, it's been really hard for even me to understand exactly what it is, even though I've been studying it for so many years, because it covers everything in life from birth to death. So everything having to do with life, from how we live on a daily basis to food, to medicine, to treatment, to relationships, like honestly, everything comes under the umbrella of Ayurveda. So it's a lot. So the way that I've come to kind of understand it personally and to explain it is that it's sort of like an ultimate self-help book. And if it had a title, it would be called How to Live a Healthy, Happy, and Long Life, written by Mother Nature.
Oh, so I love that. That's awesome.
That's the way I think of it. Yeah, yeah. And there are two sides to it. There's one part of it, which is more preventative care, meant for people who are already in a balanced state, who want to continue feeling balanced. And then there's another aspect of it, which is more the treatment side, for people who are experiencing imbalance and need support in bringing their mind-body system back into balance.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah, it's what one thing I really love about Ayurveda is, like, we are nature. And we kind of forget that we see ourselves as separate from. And if we can think of ourselves more as that and really get in tune with ourselves in a way that balances us out with kind of the world around us, how healing and grounded in true just love is that? I mean, you can't get more grounded than being grounded in nature, right? So
yeah.
And there's so many different ways to do that. And we'll get into that more, but what is your journey? Can you tell us about how you kind of moved into finding Ayurveda and living Ayurvedically?
Okay, so it started out in a not very Ayurvedic way, I would say. Years ago, I was invited to go to my first yoga class by my roommate, who said, "You have to go to this sexy guy's yoga class. He's so hot."
Okay, yeah.
I have to say that's kind of where it all began, because that lured me into yoga. And then I realized I really like this yoga thing. And I kind of went on this whole, you know, yogic path. Eventually I went to India and did my yoga teacher training to learn how to share yoga with other people. And somewhere—
Not just for the hot guys though.
Exactly. Exactly. That was short-lived, but I have to say it was really what brought me into yoga was that very hot instructor. Yeah. So somewhere on that path, I heard of Ayurveda, like it fell out of the sky is all I can say. And I felt so instantly curious about it. Like whatever this thing is, I need to study it. And there came a point when I was in India where we did a little bit of studying of Ayurveda. And that began a whole deep dive that I still haven't come out of. So yeah, it just completely resonated with me once I started studying, and I was going through some health issues as I entered into Ayurvedic school. So the first person who I got to, I would say, treat or experiment on was myself. And I really saw through that process, wow, this Ayurveda really works and I feel amazing. And that's proof, you know, when you have that experience for yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So the journey is still continuing. I mean, I feel that I'm really still on it and still have so much to learn. But it has completely made my life so much more meaningful and given me such a sense of connectivity, like the connectivity to nature that you were talking about.
Yeah. Before. And ultimately probably a connection with the divine. You know, there is Definitely. Divinity in nature. We were just talking about that before we came on, just embracing the divinity of nature, or in particular, we were talking about the ocean. But yeah. So can we dive into how cool, first of all, that you were able to learn Ayurveda in India, where everything, that's where it all started, right? This ancient practice started in India and you were able to study it there. That's amazing. But there's so many elements to Ayurveda that are kind of designed to your body type, right? There's three different elements called doshas, and every body type kind of falls somewhere in between one of those three, right? It's Pitta, Vata, and Kapha. Can you kind of explain those and what each of them kind of look like?
Sure. So the three doshas are these three vital energies that exist within each of our bodies, and they exist everywhere around us in nature as well. And Ayurveda teaches that each of us is a microcosm reflecting the macrocosm of nature. So each of these three doshas has its particular action in the body or its particular role. Vata does the movement, Pitta does the transformation and digestion, Kapha does the stability, lubrication. So we all have all of these three doshas, everybody, because we need them. They make everything happen in the body, from the pumping of the heart to the elimination of the urine and the stools, to the digestion, to the growth. So these three doshas are in various proportions in each individual person. And that's what gives us our own unique mind-body constitution. It's called prakriti. So we all have our own unique constitution that is dependent upon, you know, our different balance of the doshas in our body. So yeah, what else What else can I explain? What would you like to know?
So, like, let's talk about, like, pitta, for example, that fire that you're talking about. They're all these things are categorized by earth elements, right? So pitta is, now you're going to have to help me on this, because I think it's fire and water. Right? Mm-hmm. And then vata is more air and
space.
That's right. And then kapha is going to be more of like earth and
water.
Okay. Yes,
exactly.
So they're all kind of categorized by that. And each of those kind of means something in your body. So like pitta, for instance, like I'm a pitta vata. Well, no, actually I'm a vata pitta. Sorry. So I'm like very creative. I have, you know, very much of a scattered brain. I have a lot of that air and space, right? Where I'm more flighty. Like they kind of tell you a lot about your body and kind of where your imbalances are and then how you can balance that out. Is that correct?
It is, but it can be sort of oversimplified, which is sort of the problem in modern Ayurveda.
Okay.
Is that it can be a little bit oversimplified and stick us into one type. But the thing is that we're always changing. So we're born with this constitution, which is never changing from birth to death. So if you're a vata pitta, you will always be a vata pitta. But the thing is that your doshas are continually fluctuating. So even though you're a vata pitta, sometimes you might have more kapha, or sometimes you might have more pitta, or sometimes you might have more vata. So this is where it gets a little bit confusing. And actually, that aspect of the doshas is usually used for the treatment aspect. Mm. Whereas there are a lot of concepts in Ayurveda, a lot of parts of Ayurveda that are universally applicable. So no matter what your mind-body type, no matter which doshas you have dominant, there are certain things that all humans can follow to remain healthy and to keep the body balanced. And then when it goes to a point, or if it goes to a point where the doshas are imbalanced to a certain level, then that knowledge is used by the Ayurvedic practitioner, Ayurvedic doctor, to help that person come back into balance. That said, it's really helpful to understand what your constitution is, because we tend to have imbalances that are the same as our constitution. Because we already have more of a particular element in our body. So we're more likely to experience imbalances of that element. Like a fiery person will probably end up with more fiery imbalances. And then using that knowledge, we can understand what sorts of actions or, you know, foods even to take a little bit of care in.
To pacify some of those things, to bring them down.
Yeah, and to prevent also, just having a little bit of awareness of what our body's tendencies are as well.
That's so interesting. So for me, like as a vata pitta, right? Like I tend to get so spacey sometimes that I just can't stick to one thing and I don't get anything done. Now that's a characteristic of a vata, right? But is that also an imbalance? Does that make sense?
It could be your nature, but
I think it is too.
Right? Yeah. If it's your nature, but yeah, I guess you could say it's an imbalance. Yeah. In a way, like if there's a lack of focus,
there is
an instability of the mind. Okay, so then we could call it like a little imbalance. But not like you have some, you know, deep-seated
problem or issue.
Right, exactly, exactly.
But, I mean, even something like that, or like let's talk about like pitta for a second. Like when you – if you kind of have like more of an imbalance in that area, like you might struggle with – I mean, I hate to get graphic on here, TMI. But you might have like diarrhea, right? I mean, like you have the fire and the water where it's just going straight through you. Now that I would consider an imbalance, right?
Like that's an imbalance, correct. Yeah.
So how do you
kind of level that out. You say, oh, okay, wow, like I'm having stomach problems. Like I have a lot of pitta in my system right now. Like maybe you have a lot of acne or that fiery, like I had a burning in my skin for a long time, like a rash and stuff on my face. And it felt like a lot of pitta, a lot of fire in my system. So I was trying to balance that out by the foods that I eat, and maybe like cooling my body down just a bit. But I don't know if I necessarily did that the right way, but like, what would that look like? How would you pacify that fire a little bit?
Well, it depends, which is usually the answer in Ayurveda. It depends. Right. But as sort of a general principle, for things which are hot, like if there's too much pitta, then we use the opposite, which are things which are cooling.
Yes.
So as you said, you did, like foods which have a little bit more of a cooling property, avoiding also hot atmosphere, like being in the sun in the middle of the day, and instead being more in like a cooler room even can help. Being by cooling places, like walking by the ocean or walking by the river, doing things which are a little more cooling for the mind, like avoiding really stressful, fiery kinds of situations.
Oh, I love that. Like a cooling experience. I love that. I think
that's Yeah, because it is both, you know, the physical and the mental aspect are both really important. So yeah, it would depend on, I mean, I guess it's a little hard for me to explain because I'm thinking of it from a treatment aspect and my mind is already going sure, kind of steps sure. forward. Yeah. But yeah, at the very, you know, root of Ayurvedic treatment is that law of opposites, which is the way that things work in nature, meaning that in order to bring balance, we use things which are opposite. So if we think of somebody who has a really fiery manifestation in their body, like the burning or a lot of acidity in their gut, if that person lays outside in the sun in the middle of the day and has a spicy curry, what's going to happen is those symptoms will be aggravated. They'll probably have more burning. They'll probably have more acidity in the gut. And I'm sure many people who are listening to this have experienced that, you know, especially if they have an acidic tendency, they know, like we intuitively know, I shouldn't have spicy food right now.
That's so true. Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
But we need the opposite. So that's the part we have to understand. The opposite thing is, or things which are a little more cooling, like say, for example, coconut water or cucumbers, melon, foods which are gently spiced and not aggressively spiced like the curry.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I love the balance aspect of that. Just being able to say, oh my gosh, I'm really irritated today. I'm so unusually aggravated and irritated today for no reason, can't figure it out. And being able to kind of pacify that by just a cooling experience or a cooling food, like how interesting and how soothing does that feel? Like just when you think about that, I'm just like, oh my gosh, that already feels soothing. You know, I love that aspect of Ayurveda.
And you know, what's interesting is that when we're in the very beginning stage of an imbalance, like that imbalance has just started to arise, our body will actually crave things that are going to bring it back into balance. So this is when we really need to be acutely listening and acutely aware.
Self-aware,
because your body will tell you, like, say Vata has gone out of balance for whatever reason, and you don't even know what Vata means, but you suddenly have this craving to put on a sweater and to have a cup of hot water or a cup of hot tea. That's your body's system kind of self-regulating and bringing that Vata back into balance naturally. Where when that pitta has gone a little bit of high and you feel just a little bit agitated or heated, your body might crave for like some cooling, sweet, juicy fruit. Wow. So these are the moments that we have an opportunity to really listen to our body and to self-correct, to self-balance.
That's so interesting. So the body is always, I mean, you see it when you cut yourself, you know, your body's always healing itself. It's always doing what it needs to do to heal. And so I think really being able to be in tune with that and listen to what your body needs. I mean, a lot of times though, my body's saying, hey, Courtney, you need those French fries and that hamburger. So maybe I'm not listening.
Well, that's another interesting thing though, because deeper, then the imbalances can start to run the show and they create their own cravings.
Ooh, so, can you talk about that a little bit? That's so interesting because.
So, if we take that example of the fiery person who's having acidity and burning sensations and feeling super hot, and their body is craving spicy curry, and their body is telling them, like, go lay out in the sun in the middle of the day at the beach. That pitta is running the show. So pitta has already imbalanced to a point where it's creating the cravings. So those cravings, actually, we shouldn't listen to.
That's so interesting.
So this is where, go ahead.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Like, how do you find that self-awareness? How do you stay in a place of like that center seat where you're not teetering, you know, too much one way or teetering the other way? How do you, first of all, like, I guess, notice an imbalance and then notice when it's kind of taking over? Like, what does that look like?
I would say an imbalance is at any point in time where you don't feel good. So we're meant to feel good. We're meant to have good energy, good sleep, good digestion, good elimination, healthy body tissues. If there's any deviation from that, then there is some sort of imbalance in the system. So if it's something minor, like just suddenly feeling cold, even as an imbalance, there's too much vata in the system. And we get that little craving to put on a sweater or have a tea. That is, I would say, a craving that we can really trust. Like if we feel our system is generally in a pretty balanced state, then we can trust those cravings. But if we know that our imbalances are a bit deeper, like something is really manifesting itself strongly in our body, we know we have a particular, like a diagnosed disease, for example, or something is really manifesting very strongly, like pain all over the body, or IBS, or a thyroid issue, for example, where the imbalance has gone a bit deeper, then it's really helpful to work with a practitioner, because a practitioner will be able to really understand what's going on with the doshas and how to support that person in coming back into balance.
Absolutely. And it's so important, because I think that when we live from that place of balance and we can really get back to that, we open our channel up for so much to come in, so much divine inspiration, so much creativity, so much of a fulfilling experience, right? When we're able to show up in our daily lives more fulfilled and more excited with more energy, right? It's just because I mean, there's so many fads out there in the world today. There's diets and there's things that say, hey, do this, you'll lose weight. Hey, do this, you'll feel better. But it's like, this is something I feel that is just truly in balance with nature and who we truly are, getting us back to exactly where we're supposed to be in nature, as opposed to, hey, let me lose 10 pounds and maybe I'll feel good for a month until I eat that hamburger and French fries and I'm completely out of balance again. It doesn't keep you balanced, right? As this does. And I love that.
Right. And I totally agree with you. You know, when we're in balance, and part of being in balance also means that there's no stagnation or blockage in the system, in the mind or in the body. And when we're in that place where we don't have stagnation or blockage, that's when that energy can free flow through us. That's when that divine inspiration can come in, when it can, you know, freely move throughout our whole being.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that. So like, in your opinion, if you had to define true authentic creativity or true inspiration. What does that look like to you? What kind of a lifestyle does that look like to you? And how does Ayurveda help to kind of lead into living more of that? Like, is it exactly what you just said?
Yeah, I would say that Ayurveda helps in the sense that, you know, the whole point of Ayurveda is to help us to be healthy, happy human beings.
Yeah.
Right? So Ayurveda helps us to get to that point where our body is healthy and our mind is healthy. And when our body and mind are healthy and, you know, there are no blockages, no stagnation in the system, when everything can free flow, that's when that creative inspiration can come in. And I think that that's not necessarily 100% needed, but it's 100, when it's 100% there, like when we're feeling so good in our body, we're able to more deeply connect to our authentic self, which I would say is our spirit. Yes. So it becomes easier to connect. And I wouldn't say that if our body is in an imbalanced state, we can't connect.
Sure.
But right, it will be easier when we don't have the burden of, you know, this ache and that burn and this pain.
Yeah. And right? There's when you connect with that more, that truth, when you're able to really clear a pathway to really, you know, dig into that truth of you, when there is no other ailments or no other blockages. Like, I know when I eat, you know, really crappy all the time, like I feel like I'm a songwriter. I feel like sometimes I'm so blocked that I just don't have another idea because I'm so tired. I'm so drained. And I feel like when I write a song from that point, you know, I feel like I am forcing it. It doesn't feel like it's coming from an honest place, as opposed to when I do find true balance and when I am open, I do have more energy. It's coming from a place of more authenticity, you know, and it's more energized and it's more freeing and it doesn't feel like it's a chore. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. Yeah, it makes total sense. It's like that energy can free flow.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, I could write a song when I'm tired and when I don't feel good or whatever. It just feels a lot more forced. And it just doesn't feel like it's coming from that true place of Courtney Cole, you know?
Right, right. So, and I think, too, that, you know, we have these different layers of ourself. In yoga, there's this concept of the panchakosha, these five sheets. Like, yeah, so the panchakosha. So inside, like in our deepest self, we have our soul, the Atma. And then there are these five different layers kind of surrounding that soul. And the very most outer layer is this gross physical body. Not gross like you, but gross, you know, very right. The opposite of subtle, right? Yeah. So from that outer layer, then we go inner and inner. We go to this pranic body, to this mental body, to this intellectual body, to this finally, you know, reaching this spirit inside. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like it's covered with these layers that we have to cut through in order to get into this deeper, blissful body and the soul.
Oh, I love that.
And as we, you know, as we purify this outer layer, as we purify the body, and as we purify the mind, we're able to better connect to that inner, most authentic aspect of ourselves, to really know that most authentic inner aspect of ourself, of our being.
Well, and how healing is that too? Because when you know that, and then you're surrounded by, you live in this world, and we have so many things being thrown at us all the time. When you can balance yourself in a way where you can cut through some of those layers and really dig in and find that spirit self, that true self, like all of these, you know, programmings and false belief systems that we developed, we see right through them.
Right.
It's just like so much more of a freeing place where you can create this totally different experience for yourself, that you're just like, nothing can really touch me here.
Yeah.
Like, this is a whole new way of seeing things and being and understanding myself. And I think that there comes a lot of healing in that place.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So I love, you know, the intention of setting up, like, I love Ayurveda because I just feel like it brings you back into balance and it keeps you in that place of being able to understand yourself, your creativity, and then being open to all this divine inspiration to come through. So, yeah, I think it's incredible. Like, what does a creative lifestyle look like to you, in your opinion, as a Ayurvedic practitioner? Do you consider yourself a creative, and are you living creatively every day through this practice?
Yeah, you know, in a way, I feel I was more stereotypically creative when I was younger. I studied art when I was in college, and yeah. I was more on this artist path, right? Like right. making things which were visually appealing and yeah. creative in that sense, like creative in drawing, creative in painting, creative in sculpture. And as I've moved away from that and gone into Ayurveda, there's a very different kind of creativity happening in my life. And what I feel that creativity is being able to have an open mind. And I would say, like, in my work, I would consider my work very creative, even though, you know, it might not look creative from the outside. What I'm doing is recommending herbs and recommending diet and, like, teaching people how to sleep at night, but there is a lot of creativity in each client and having an open mind and being able to understand and hear their story and then being able to connect and relate to them in a way that's going to make sense to them and keep mm-hmm. coming up with a plan which is going to suit them. So for each person I work with, I have to come up with something, you know, completely new.
Yeah.
And yeah, that for me, I mean, there's a lot of creativity in that. And I would say Ayurveda is a very feminine science in that way, because it's not like, here, you have this problem, take this herb and eat that food.
Yeah.
We get to really work in the more feminine aspect of really understanding who is this person and how can I meet them where they're at and how can I plan something that's totally suitable for them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yes, that's totally creative. Creativity in general is a very feminine energy. And as you're talking about this, there's so many aspects to all this. Like, your job as an Ayurvedic practitioner is to bring healing to people. And in my opinion, like, I think healing is totally a creative process, because when you heal, that's when you're able to express yourself more authentically, like the most authentically. So by healing people, like, you're aligning your clients with such a divine creativity within themselves by encouraging them to express more fully as themselves.
Yeah, right. That's the goal, you know, so that,
right.
It is so that they can feel good, not to have some perfect body or perfect health, but absolutely. So that they get to do whatever it is in their, you know, in their dharma, in their, life's plan that feels good to them and allows their soul to be expressed. And Ayurveda is a spiritual science where we understand that a person is not just a body, not just a mind, not just body and mind, but also the spirit. Mm. So it's when that spirit is able to express itself, I think that's authentic creativity. It's that, like,
absolutely.
You know, that divine expression or that divine, little aspect of divinity that's in each of us.
Yes.
That's able to express itself through the outer form. And that will look like something different in everybody. So creative lifestyle will really vary. Like, there's such a
how beautiful myriad of ways. I think that's incredible.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I just, that gives me chills. I love that.
Yeah. I think go ahead.
Oh no, I was just going to say, in your opinion, like, as a society, like, what do you think is kind of our biggest threat that's facing us today?
I think our biggest threat is giving away our freedom. I think that's something we need to be very cautious of. And giving away some of the trust we have in our own body to be strong and to heal. I think that we really need to get back to that. Putting some faith in our own body system to have the capacity to get through the things that we're facing right now.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's a great point.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So how do we do that? Like, what's the most important thing that we can do as individuals to help heal the collective and create, you know, more of a societal environment that's kind of grounded in love and in unity? How can we do that?
We each have to work on ourselves.
Yes.
Right. That's where it starts. We each have to work on ourselves. And if we're talking on a very basic level, on a really physical level, we need to pay attention to what we put into our body. We need to eat, you know, we need to live as closely to the earth as possible in the sense of eating wholesome food. And we need to move our body. We need to exercise. And then on a more mental, spiritual aspect, if we can all start to find some sort of spiritual practice or a spiritual path that resonates with us, then that will be different for everybody. But I think that that's really the way forward. If we can all start to see that divine in our fellow human beings, recognize I'm a divine being, you're a divine being, and even people who I don't like, they're divine beings. That would create so much peace.
Yeah, you just, right? Everybody's connected in love at that point.
Yeah.
I think that's so important. Julie, thank you so much for all that you've offered today. You are just such a light, such a beauty. And I just love hearing about this in so much more detail. Like, I love Ayurveda so much, but I'm definitely not the pro and want to learn just as much as everyone out there. So you've given us so much more wonderful information. So thank you. Where's a place online that everybody can find you the most?
So I'm on, you mean my website?
Website, Instagram, anything.
Yeah, sure. So website is trueayurveda.com. And then I'm on Instagram, my name at Julie Bernier. And thank you so much for having me, Courtney. It's been such a pleasure.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Julie.
What a great conversation with Julie. I am so glad that you guys tuned in today and were able to hear her insight. And I hope it brought you a little bit more clarity as to what Ayurveda is all about in order to open you up to more authentic inspiration and creativity in your life and in your art. So be sure to check her out on Instagram at Julie Bernier. And you can learn more about her, and you can even schedule a private session with Julie if you kind of want to go deeper and learn your constitution. And I just want to remind you guys, if you're not a part of the Love Freak Patreon program, make sure you click the link in the liner notes, and you can find weekly journal prompts there and other exclusive Love Freak content to encourage you more on your creative journey. So much love to you guys, and we will see you next week on the Love Freak podcast. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of the Love Freak Podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe. You can also follow me on Instagram at @thelovefreak_. Don't forget, that's F-R-E-Q. Or to find out more information, you can go to www.thelovefreak.me. Look for a new episode every Tuesday.